Would you please stand for the Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, beginning from verse 28. Praise and glory to God. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Wonderful. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you love us, that your love is not determinant upon our goodness, that you're not Father Christmas. And Lord, we thank you that your love is poured out for us constantly. Lord, help us believe it. Lord, somehow open the crack of our unbelief to comprehend that you are good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, hello, welcome. If you're new here today, well, I'll just say a very, very warm welcome to you today. My name is Fraser. I'm the pastor here. And some people call me Father, but I'm not sure that you're all quite my children. But anyway, that's marvelous. You can call me whatever you'd like, just so long as it's polite. We're in the season of Advent, and for those of you who are very astute, you will note that we have not lit the Advent candle. Who would like to light the Advent candle? Susan Chung, do come forward. Well, you were the one who was nodding away like this. So come on, come on. Do you know, are you safe with matches? Good. Because you noticed, didn't you? And your son is about, this, the press, is, the local press is here, so we need to take, come on, just stop, just smile. Thank you. It's going to be on the leader just a little bit later on. It's going to be in Stuff magazine, as what's it's going to be at 2. Because the first one represented the patriarchs. The second one represents the matriarchs. Wonder Woman. Thank you very much indeed. No, the second one, thank you very much, Susan. The second one represents the prophets. Because as you know, those mothers and fathers of the faith who have shown us what it is to walk in the Lord, show us what it is to walk in the Lord, the prophets point us towards Jesus. So as you know, we're making that journey towards the smaller central candle, which if anybody can find a really tall white candle with a very small diameter, we would consider you an amazingly blessed person because you will be giving it to us. So friends, kia ora tato, wonderful to see you, talofa. G'day, if you're Australian, and also, how do you do? How do you do? It's marvelous to see you all. I wonder what Advent is to you. For those of you who are not really into this whole sort of Anglican lark or Catholic lark or whatever lark you want to call it, ascending or descending, friends, that Advent is a time where we remind ourselves that it is good to wait. That God is good to all his promises. And so often we are forgetful. How many people here think that their birthday is an important thing? How many of those wished you weren't having any more? Well, getting older, I mean, but still staying alive, you know what I mean. But friends, you see, we tend to remember important events, and these events like Advent, like Lent, like Christmas Day and Easter Day are reminders to us of what has already happened. We don't go back into the journey and say, oh, it's happened, but we must remind ourselves. Why? Because the human heart is so forgetful. And so we have these rhythms to keep us centered in the Lord. So Advent is a season of anticipation. It's a time where we allow our hearts to expand. It's a bit like delayed gratification. We're just holding off till the white candle is lit. A lot of our lives are spent in some sort of waiting mode. Some of you, most of you here in this room right now, are probably waiting for something. I know at least two couples are waiting to get married. Some of you are waiting for the opportunity to finish your degree and get out of this place and go and tour the world. Some of you are just waiting for the right person to come across. Some are waiting for a job. Some are waiting for meaning. But all of us, in one shape or form, will be in a season of waiting most of the times in our lives. Most of us don't like waiting. But for some reason, that's the way that the Lord has orchestrated it. Let me give you a little example. The Lord hasn't orchestrated this, but in your lifetime, you will spend roughly 6 months waiting at traffic lights. Isn't that fun? Or you will spend 5 years standing in line in a queue. I cannot bear queuing. Do you like queuing? No. But we do find it difficult when people push in, don't we? And even if they look legitimately apologetic, so like passport and immigration, someone's run ahead of everybody else for the family and said, oh, this way, and never pushes through and goes, that really annoys me. Because that extends the amount of time that I'm waiting. It's like 6 years for me now. But in Advent, we're in a season of waiting. We are in a season of anticipation for Jesus' return. We'll be looking at that next week with George at our 8 o'clock service. Just to remind you, there's no 10 o'clock service next week because we'll be going to a carol service in the evening. But George will be looking at 8 o'clock at Jesus' return, something that we are longing for with every fiber of our being. And so Advent is, in one way, reminding ourselves of the waiting for the birth of Jesus, but also it's waiting for his coming again. And what happens is that our hearts expand when we hope and it is fulfilled. And so we remind ourselves that our hearts have been waiting for the birth of Jesus and it's been fulfilled. It's a heart expander. It's a good thing. The culture teaches us that waiting is not necessarily a good thing. Now, please do forgive me, John, but pretty soon there are going to be, Noel Leeming is going to be having some sales on, and they'll say, don't worry about paying now. Just buy it now. You can pay it over the next 72 years of your life. We might extract vast quantities of, no, it's interest-free, isn't it? Of course it's interest-free. But actually you see that, and also the loan sharks that are coming out, you know those gobble your money individuals who will give you 200% interest for a loan. Why are we in need of loan of money now? Because we can't wait. Why don't we have any money now? Because we couldn't wait before. We're called to wait. Waiting is good for the soul as well as the bank account. So I want to look today in this first Sunday of Advent at cultivating a heart for longing and waiting. You see, if you wait without longing, your heart will become sick. But if you wait with longing and it is fulfilled, your heart expands. So friends, let's have a little look at this. Very, very simply, back of a credit card, I've written this sermon, so you'll be very, very grateful to know that. First of all, this. Understand that our souls are created by God for connection with Him. And when we're not connected with Him, our hearts yearn for Him. What sort of connection has God desired for His creation? I think it's a bit like this. St. John, John the Beloved, was known to have, you know how in those days they laid down to eat. Do you remember that? They laid down to eat. And so they sort of laid down in a circle, and John was the one who would lay his head upon Jesus' chest in a sign of true friendship. That touch is the closest that Jesus wants with you. John lying there and feeling and smelling the hummus on Jesus' breath. Well, it wouldn't have been curry. Just the wafts of hummus. That's the closeness that God wants with you. And most of us are afraid of it. But friends, God wants to unlock your desire for intimacy with God. Anything short of it, our hearts will be longing. God has created us for connection with Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. I'm going to start at 18 just to remind you. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Isn't that a great promise? We look at the stuff that's crap and we know it's nothing in comparison to what we're about to receive. For the creation, everything you see around you, waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. What does that mean, friends? That means that actually creation has the same longing that it has placed in you. Creation is desiring the full connection with its creator. And actually, it gets its lead, creation, the trees, the hills, the sea, gets its lead from the children of God. How are you displaying to creation what they're about to receive? How do we increase that longing with everybody that we come into to show them that we live in eager anticipation, even eagerer? Friends, our souls were meant for connection with God. Secondly, longing is a good thing if it's the right thing that we long for. See, many of us long for things that are just inappropriate. I long to drive a 1965 cherry red Mustang. I know that there's one in the parish. And I keep dropping hints. Nothing's happening. But friends, but that's just a light thing. But many of us have misaligned and misappropriated desires. Maybe you're desiring something now that you know you should not be desiring. Maybe it's a position at work. Maybe it's a relationship with somebody. Maybe it's a better mark at school, and you will punish yourself if you don't get the mark you're after Friends, God's not interested in your marks. He's just interested in your heart. But longing for the right thing is a good thing in God. And what has he placed in us? A desire for him. You see, our longing for him will influence the way that we worship. It will influence the way that we pray. It will influence the way that we give. It will influence the way that we serve. If it is all longing to please the heart of God and longing for him, it will be a good thing. But so often we skew our longing to be self-oriented instead of God-oriented. And when we get our God orientation right, all the other stuff, as I said last week, our paths will become straight. Let's have a look at Romans 8, verse 23. Verse 22, as we know, the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit long, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship and the redemption of our bodies. For it is this hope that we are saved, a hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what we already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. See, often, friends, when we hope and we don't get it, sometimes our hearts become cynical. And our cynicism in our general life will bleed into our spiritual life. Friends, keep our hearts clear from cynicism. It is not a thing of the Lord. It might seem quite humorous at the time to take somebody down with our mouths and our words. But to be honest, it really isn't. It's not good. I think the best thing that we could do is repent of anything that keeps us from glorifying God. My soul thirsts for the courts of the living Lord. How thirsty is your soul? Have you been disappointed so much that you no longer dare thirst? Friends, God is faithful. The faithfulness is shown in one word: Jesus. He's the proof of God's faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's have a little look at that, can we? We read this at Sarah and my wedding. To whom will you compare me? Or to whom is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? Long for the right thing. God will satisfy the desires of your heart. Thirdly and finally, friends, longing, as I've said, but we'll say once more, longing is satisfied in one person and one person alone. And that is Jesus. We can say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, but sometimes our hearts seem to be the furthest thing away from him. But fear not, friends, for in the same way, according to St. Paul, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with words and groans, for he searches our hearts and knows our minds. He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Basically, it's this. If we want to long for the Lord, which I hope we do, we throw ourselves upon the one who can help us long in the right way. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. Fraser, you need this. Jesus, I'm the Spirit now, by the way. Jesus, you see this one? His worship's getting really, really just quite jaded. Can we help him? I'm sure the Father's saying, yeah, we can help him. We're going to inspire his heart. Spirit comes, It lifts our hearts. And friends, it's the same for everybody. Because you have a number one fan. And that's Jesus. And he sends the Spirit to help us. So in the season of anticipation, enjoy it. Milk the anticipation for all it's worth. Because we know that he who promises is faithful. And we see it in the form of a child born to a teenage woman resting in a manger. God is faithful. And his love endures forever. Shall we stand and we're going to pray?